So yes, this is something new and something different. I just praise the Lord for a beautiful day, the sunshine, the birds that are singing, the beauty of the mountains that God just arrays before us every day. I'm just so blessed, and it's a blessing for me to be here with you this morning. And I hope my voice holds out. I'm sure it will. And I just have something short and hopefully pertinent to share with you this morning, something that was laid on my heart in the last couple of days. And I'm sure you'll remember that I recently put up a picture on our fellowship WhatsApp group of a little poster that says, "Stop seeing church as a place to attend. See it as a family you belong to." And you know, that really resonated with me, and it stayed with me for a long time. And it got me thinking a lot about what church actually is, what it means to belong to a church, and our role in God's house. So, a couple of serious questions here. Why do we go to church? Is it really important to go to church? You know, we're always being told that church is not actually a building. The church is the body of Christ. It is the people. So why do we go to a building when we can commune with God at any time, in any place? Today, there are multitudes of people who happily shun going to a building to worship the Lord when they can so easily stay at home, lie in bed, listen to a renowned preacher giving a sermon. It's all about convenience, isn't it? It's about what suits me and my wants, about me having an easy time. And so I just want to say that I'm so grateful to each one of you here who made the decision to get up this morning, travel a road less traveled, and forgo the comfort of a warm, cozy bed to join us here to worship Jesus our Lord. It's not always easy to get up in the cold and the relative dark of a winter's morning when there's so much available to just make our lives more easy and more comfortable. Millions of believers now attend church through their phones, through television, through YouTube, live streams. It's all out there, isn't it? You know, some Christians haven't entered fellowship for months or even years, yet they fully believe that they are spiritually growing because they watch sermons online every week. But here's the question. Has convenience quietly replaced commitment? Has digital Christianity started replacing biblical fellowship? Are many believers now spiritually entertained, but also spiritually disconnected at the same time? Technology has become one of the greatest blessings, but also one of the greatest spiritual tests of modern Christianity. And there's no doubt that God can move through online ministry. I'm not discounting it at all. But many believers are now entering a dangerous territory where they know many online preachers, yet nobody really knows them spiritually in real life. We are warned in the Word that believers shouldn't abandon gathering together. Yet modern Christianity is slowly normalizing spiritual isolation in the name of convenience. Hebrews 10 verse 25 says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching." We are warned from the Word. Don't give up joining together, especially as the day approaches, as time is getting short. We need each other. So now suppose you might be wondering why I'm speaking to you on this subject, when you've all gathered together today in a specified place to be obedient to God's word. So why do you need to hear this? Surely this message is for someone else, not for you. But this is not a small issue, and it's one we and others might be faced with when people try to justify individual worship. Now, there's no doubt that God can touch someone through a screen. People have been saved online. They've learned scripture online. They've discovered truth online. But the danger begins when convenience starts replacing obedience. Amen. We often ask why there's so many empty chairs in our place of worship. And I believe one of the reasons is that while there are many believers out there in our community, they choose not to gather physically. Not because they cannot, but because they simply do not want to. Some now prefer to watch church while lying in bed, or cooking food, or scrolling through texts. And slowly, the fear, the honor, the discipline, and reverence of gathering before God begins to disappear. The problem then is not the technology, but the problem is allowing digital Christianity to replace biblical fellowship. The early church was built on physical gathering. Acts 2 verse 42 says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And I want you please to notice that believers gathered together continually, regularly. Christianity was never designed to be lived completely in isolation, because in physical gathering, your character is tested, your humility is tested, your patience is tested, your forgiveness is tested, your commitment is tested, and your love for others is tested. Many people now shop for sermons online based on excitement, miracles, prophecies, or emotional stimulation. And the moment a message becomes somewhat uncomfortable and prickly, they switch to another preacher on another channel. But spiritual growth occurs not only through listening. It is built through obedience, accountability, correction, prayer, and walking together with other believers. Jesus himself, as you know, gathered with his disciples physically. He walked with them, rebuked them, taught them, prayed with them, and built relationship with them. Christ is always about relationships, and so we should follow his example. 1 Corinthians 12 talks about one body with many parts. A body cannot function properly if each part is working in isolation. When believers disconnect from healthy fellowship, they become easy targets for deception, temptation, discouragement, offense. They become targets for bitterness and pride and spiritual coldness. Ecclesiastes 4 verses 9 to 10 reminds us, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. A reminder that we need each other always. Many believers backslide because nobody's checking up on them and encouraging them. You know, I asked the question earlier, why do we go to church? And there is a fundamental principle here that we need to take to heart. And listen to this. Church is not merely a preaching center. It is a spiritual family. I'll say that again. Church is not merely a preaching center. It is a spiritual family. Galatians 6 verse 2 says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. You know, we all know the saying, you can choose your friends, but you can't choose your family. Well, friends, I've got news for you. This is your family, whether you choose us or not. Jesus chose you to be part of this family. And we are commanded to love one another, warts and all. Yes, there may be problems within the family, but blood is thicker than water, they say. And we are covered by the blood of Jesus. So our connection to each other is very thick. Church can hurt. There may be some hypocrisy. There may be personal conflicts. But no one is perfect. And no church body is perfect either. When you find a perfect church, don't go there because it won't be perfect anymore. A word of encouragement to all of us today is to never neglect coming together to worship the Lord in truth. It is Jesus' express wish for us to be his body here on earth and to shine his light into the darkest corners. John Donne, the poet, penned the phrase, "No man is an island." And those words emphasize to us that we cannot face the storms around us alone. We need to comfort, support, and encourage each other continually together so that we can withstand the trials of this world. And meeting together in fellowship as often as we can is how we can be Jesus to each other in this family. Amen. Lord, I come before you so aware that families can have problems. Families can be fractured. But with you as our Father, as the head of this family, we know we are safe in your hands. And so I pray for this family, Lord. I pray for encouragement for each one. No matter what we're facing, thank you, Lord, that we are here for each other because you have taught us that where two or three are gathered together, there you are also. And so we praise you and thank you, Lord, for being in our midst this morning. And I pray, Lord, that you will just teach us to love one another as you love us. Hard as that may be, but we thank you that we have you as an example and that we can look to you at all times, in all places, and know without a shadow of doubt that you hold us in the palm of your hand, for so you have promised us. So I ask, Lord, that you part us with your blessing and that you hold us in the shadow of your wings. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.